This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters, today is the third of the series of lectures on values, behavior and results. We spoke the week before last about the three critical core values, which are identity, integrity and courage. 2 weeks ago we spoke about identity, last week we spoke about integrity, this week I want to talk to you about courage. If you want to address behavior, you must first address the values that drive that behavior. The three values, identity, integrity and courage, have the power, inshallah, to drive the behavior that will get us results, which will be an asset for us in the akhirah. In Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَظَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe and harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from you. So pass over, ignore their faults, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for them, and consult them in affairs. Then when you have taken a decision, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who put their trust in Him. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid out the basic principle about courage. Consult relevant people, decide on the best course of action, and put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This warns us against two things: acting unilaterally, especially when you need the support of others to implement your decision, and being indecisive. The greatest danger to leadership is indecisiveness. As they say, it is better to take a wrong decision and stick to it than to take a right decision and be indecisive about it. Nobody respects a leader who is weak. Weakness is indecisiveness. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to continue despite the fear. Courage is the ability to keep the fear between yourself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to present a confident, cheerful, uplifting face to the people. That gives the others the courage to continue and overcome their own doubts and apprehensions. The foundation of courage is certainty in your own belief and confidence in your ability. And that is why tawakkul is critical, because the only one about whose support we can be totally certain is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is so essential to build our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ta'alluq ma'allah is the core of all goodness. Let us look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see how this played out in his blessed life and the decisions that he took. Let's start with the first display of courage, which frankly is beyond my ability to comprehend: when he announced Islam. Just think about this. Here was a highly intelligent man who understood his people, their psychology, their society and its norms, a man hugely respected and loved, who introduced his message in a way that was so clear and direct that it had an instant reaction. To imagine that he didn't expect that reaction is to say that you do not really know Rasulullah. The reality is that he was not naive. He was 40 years old and raised in times when 15-year-olds commanded armies. Yet, he chose to do what he did because he was so totally certain about the truth of his mission. And like all committed leaders, he had a sense of urgency about it. He was not going to waste any time beating about the bush. He wanted there to be perfect clarity about what he had brought so that people could choose. Yes, there was a price to pay, and he would be the one to pay it first and the most. He was prepared for that, because for him, it was worth the price. We must ask ourselves, is it worth the price for us? Is it worth the price for me? The question for us today, as we stand in his place, as messengers of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is, are we prepared to stand for Islam, to state its principles and to live by them as clearly, unequivocally and directly as he did? Confidence is a product of certainty. And so we must ask ourselves, how certain am I about what I believe? Which perhaps is the follow-up of an even more fundamental question for many of us. And that is, what do I believe? Islam is a religion which is based on a book. The first word revealed was read, iqra. Islam is based on knowledge. Knowledge needs effort to acquire. Yes, it took incredible courage to stand alone on the Mount of Safa and call people to Allah. But he did it. It took even more courage to then face the consequences. Rejection, social boycott, economic hardship, physical violence, and eventually exile. But he bore it all with dignity, patience, steadfastness, and without losing his focus or enthusiasm for his mission. The next standard of courage was his journey to Taif. He could have delegated it. He didn't. He could have taken many more people with him than he did, but he didn't. He went there alone with only one companion, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. His reliance was on his Rabb alone. We know the story of what happened, so I won't take your time narrating it here. I want you to put yourself in his place and think. You go to do something that you have been charged with by Allah himself. You do it perfectly. You rely on the one who sent you, who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, whose powers are unlimited, to protect you and to support you. What happens? You get rejected, you get abused, you get stoned, your body is in pain and bleeding, your prestige is in tatters, your heart would be shattered, not merely broken. Your confidence would have evaporated. You would be questioning your very existence, let alone your mission. If you made dua in that state, what would you ask of Allah? What did he ask? He said, if you are pleased with me, then I don't care what anyone else thinks about me. If you are not pleased, then I will work until you are pleased. Hatta tarda. Until you are pleased. That is focus. That is courage. That is confidence. And that comes from certainty, from yaqeen. Unshakable faith in his and our Rabb, Jalla Jalalu. What was the result? The result was that his Rabb said to him, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُوْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَطَرْضَ. Verily, your Rabb will give you until you are pleased. Your Rabb will please you. We live our lives trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for his Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your Rabb will give you until you are pleased. That is the reward of courage, of patience, of faith, of steadfastness, and of focus. A third standard of courage was in Badr. Materially speaking, there was no comparison between his companions and the fully armed contingent of Quraysh. But that is where we make the mistake. We compare what we can see. We forget that it is the one with the most heart, not the one with the biggest gun, who wins the war. The Sahaba didn't have weapons and resources to match those of the Quraysh. But the Quraysh did not have anyone with them to match Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His actions are a lesson to all mankind for all time. He made all preparations that were in his power. The night before the battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood in prayer the entire night. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says, there was not one of us who didn't sleep except for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who under a tree was praying and weeping until morning. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. When Fajr appeared, the Adhan was called and the Muslims came to pray with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the Salah, he instructed them about the battle. He appointed commanders for the Ansar and the Muhajirun, and he returned to the shelter that they had made for him. There, he made his famous dua. He stood there, his hands raised, looking at the heavens, and he said, O Allah, fulfill for me that which you promised me. O Allah, I plead with you, your pledge, your promise. O Allah, if this small band of Muslims is overcome, if they are defeated, if they perish, you will not be worshipped on the earth. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu found him pleading and crying with his hands stretched out to the sky. He said to him, Bas, Ya Rasulullah. Enough, Ya Rasulullah. Your Rabb will not abandon you. Enough. What did Allah do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. Allah said, إِذْ تَقُولُوا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَلَنْ يَكْفِيَكُمْ أَنْ يُمِدَّكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِثَلَاثَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُنْزَلِينَ بَلَى إِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ. Allah said, which means, remember when you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to the believers, is it not enough for you that your Rabb, Jalla Jalaluhu, should help you with 3,000 angels sent down? Yes, if you hold on to patience and piety, patience, sabr and taqwa, and the enemy comes rushing at you, your Rabb will help you with 5,000 angels having marks of distinction. The conditions for the help of Allah are not money, weapons, political power, or technology. All those are the possible results of the help of Allah. The conditions for the help of Allah are sabr or taqwa, patience and piety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent angels to fight alongside the Sahaba in Badr. Not only did the Sahaba see them, but Iblis saw them first and abandoned his friends, the Quraysh of Makkah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about this. وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ نَكَصَ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ وَقَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكُمْ إِنِّي أَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. And remember when Shaitan made their evil deeds seem good and fair to them and said, no one of mankind can overcome you on this day, on the day of the battle of Badr, and verily I am your neighbor to help you. But when he saw, when the two forces came in sight of each other, he ran away and said, verily I have nothing to do with you. Verily I see what you do not see. Because he saw the Malaika. Verily I fear Allah, for Allah is severe in punishment. Reflect on this. When all it takes is one angel to destroy all creation that we know, Israfil alayhi salam will blow the sur, he will blow the trumpet, and that's it, khalas, everything is over. One angel. When all it takes is one angel to destroy all creation that we know, why did Allah send 3,000 angels to fight with the Sahaba in Badr? The numbers are to show his, Jalla Jalaluhu, love and honor to his Habib, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to honor his courage, to fulfill his promise to his Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the value of tawakkul. final standard of courage for today, Surah Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. I call this the final exam of the Sahaba. But look at it from the perspective of Rasulullah to understand the true meaning of certainty, courage and tawakkul. He is Rasulullah. He is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His dream is revelation, wahi. He is ordered to go for Umrah. He announces that to those who believed in him, because believing that he is the messenger of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a condition of iman. But when they all go, they are prevented from making Umrah. To top it all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signs a treaty, which on the face of it is one-sided, unfair and humiliating for the Muslims. This was a test for the Sahaba in a way that could have raised fundamental questions about the creed itself. From the accounts of that fateful day, we can see how stressed and angry and disappointed and sad the Sahaba were. To obey Rasulullah ﷺ meant that they had to go against their own judgment about right and wrong, against their desire to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making Umrah, and against their honors as men of courage and warriors who were known and feared. To simply accept that treaty meant going against all this. But they did. They obeyed Rasulullah ﷺ, proved their iman, and passed their test with flying colors. But what about Rasulullah ﷺ himself? He was human. What happened would have made anyone else question everything about his mission. If he was indeed the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if his dream was true, then why did this happen? Where was the help of Allah? Why did he have to sign this treaty? What about the truth of his mission, the truth of Islam? The question that Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu asked, all applied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's position and the existential reality about Islam. Yet, he didn't waver. He did not hesitate. He realized that the treaty fundamentally altered the relationship between him and the Quraysh, from being merely a rebellious member of the tribe to being the head of a significant group of people, the Muslims. Most Muslims think of this famous treaty as a one-sided agreement which was against the Muslims. But looking at it through the lens of leadership dynamics, my view is that it was a great victory. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first ayat of Surah Fatah, which is, verily, we have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a manifest victory. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. What was that victory? There were actually two victories. The victory of the Sahaba who obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite their own personal misgivings about the elements of the treaty. This was a personal victory for each of them over their aql and their nafs, where they obeyed Rasulullah ﷺ even in a matter that they perhaps differed with him. I call this passing the final test, thanks to which 2 years later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them Makkah as a prize. The second victory, which was the most significant political victory that Allah granted Rasulullah ﷺ, which was the recognition that the Quraysh unwittingly gave him as the head of Muslims. Please give this some thought. Until that moment, when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was written, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a rebel from his tribe, an individual rebel who had a few supporters. According to them, he was not worthy of any attention or importance. The Quraysh persecuted him, ignored him, and dealt with him as an individual who had gone astray from the fold of the tribe. But the day Suhail bin Awr radiallahu anhu, at that time he was not Muslim, wrote the treaty and titled it as a treaty between Muhammad ibn Abdullah and the Quraysh of Makkah, he automatically elevated the individual to the same level as the tribe. Rasulullah ﷺ was no longer a rebel individual, but the head of a significant group of people with the sole right to negotiate on their behalf. If you asked Suhail bin Amr radiallahu anhu, who is this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you made the treaty with? He would reply, he is the head of the Muslims. He wouldn't say, he is one of our people who rebelled against us. He would say, he is the head of the Muslims, thereby acknowledging his position as the head, and even more importantly, giving him the sole authority to speak on behalf of his people. Hypothetically speaking, if someone from among the Muslims decided to negotiate with the Quraysh, circumventing Rasulullah ﷺ, he would not be able to do so because the treaty was with Muhammad bin Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By the way, the treaty was addressed and titled. The Quraysh gave Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the biggest advantage by placing him on the same level as their tribe. The reward of courage and steadfastness was that his enemies recognized his temporal status. Later, those among them who accepted Islam would also recognize his real position as the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Courage opens the doors of the hearts of people and invokes the mercy and power of Allah. Rasulullah's life is the finest example of the relationship between identity, integrity and courage. And we see the result of that. That 14 centuries later, 1 in 5 human beings believe in him and the religion he brought. And they love him more than they love their own parents, their children or themselves. Truly did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that the best example to follow is the example of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for anyone who looks forward to his meeting with Allah and the day of judgment and who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great deal. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who can live up to this standard. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ. وَسَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.